Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Welcome to our number four of Rosie on the House. It's our 10 o'clock hour. This hour is designated to one specific topic about your house, home, castle, or cabin. Following our first ever home maintenance calendar, as part of our 30th anniversary celebration, it's something we put together and distributed to all of our listeners. Anybody that would like one, you just send us the email you want, the address you would like it sent to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And we'll get one sent out to you. You could also, any of our certified partners also have stacks of these that they have with them at their showrooms and on their trucks. And you can always request one from one of our partners. If you've got one at your house or you're driving by one of their showrooms or office fronts, you can run in and pick one up. And February is pest control. We talk about pests four different ways. Well, this week we're talking about protected pests. What happens when there's an animal in your yard that you would need a hunting license for, or is protected by Arizona Game and Fish and the Wildlife Department? How do you handle those protected pests? Next week we're talking about good pests. Praying mantis.
Good pests.
Ladybugs.
Is that why I heard our writer on the phone with a ladybug wholesale company ordering 20,000 ladybugs?
Yep.
What are we going to do?
Eat your aphids.
What are we going to do with 20,000?
We're going to wipe out the aphid population in Arizona.
Okay. Good bugs. That's next week.
What's
good
a,
bugs?
A good snake to leave alone. That'll eat the rattlesnake that comes around. So identifying the pests that are not harmful to humans or pets or animals, but also help control those other aggravating pests. The following week, we'll be talking ants and termites, and then we'll wrap up with a specialty on flying pests. So then,
very good.
Moving into March, we'll cover windows and doors. April, it's perfect time of the year to talk about outdoor livings. May, we move to the garage. June is roofing. July is air conditioning. August is water. September is fall planting. October's painting. November's home finance. And then December we'll wrap up with American-made tools as part of our toolkit we've put together for our 30th anniversary. You can go to rosieonthehouse.com and click on the 30th anniversary tab and learn more about that toolbox. It's American-made tools that are all custom-etched with Rosie on the House logoing, and you can order a kit. All proceeds go to our nonprofit as our thank you for 30, and you'll have a toolkit that'll last you the rest of your life made by American labor and American materials.
Absolutely.
But coming back around to
brings
today.
Brings us to today's topic, which the calendar always does. That's the great concept behind that calendar, is it keep us focused on what we're supposed to be studying. And today, if you're a subscriber to our email newsletter, you got it in Thursday's email. It's 5 urban pests and how to handle them. And we won't limit the conversation just to these, because I know there are others. But we talked specifically about if your yard is, if the javelina find your yard particularly desirable, or coyotes, or rabbits, or woodpeckers, or mule deer. I live in a very urban part of town, and our neighbor, Pat, has a little dog named Buddy. And Buddy was in the backyard. We have half-acre lots. Buddy was in the backyard. A coyote jumped the masonry wall and had a serious fight with Buddy. And we were just barely able, Pat was just barely able to get Buddy back in the house. So we all have them. And they seem that some of these pests seem to be urbanizing even a little bit more aggressively. So I thought what we'd do is we'd reach out to Arizona Game and Fish Department and bring in Mr. Darren Julian, who is the urban wildlife specialist. And Romy, you may be surprised by this. He doesn't just work on the ASU campus.
Nice.
Darren. Bring Darren in.
He is.
Good morning, Rosie and Romy. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, my friend?
Very good, thank you.
All right. Well, we appreciate carving time out of your Saturday morning to join us and all the listeners at Rosie on Us. Kind of talk through an issue we hear a lot about at our office. And We're never quite sure the PC method of giving them advice on how to handle it. Can we just kind of go through like the most common urban pests that you see you have to handle? What are the phone calls you get at Arizona Game and Fish about, help me, there is a blank in my yard. What is it?
Well, typically in the most calls that we get are the urban coyotes, followed secondarily by the javelina issues. And then coming up right behind that is, and kind of new within the last few years, is more and more people dealing with bobcat issues. And the biggest issues that I deal with are a lot of times it's either property damage issues by javelina, or it's pet concerns related to coyotes and other predators.
I can imagine. You heard me talking about our neighbor had a coyote come over the back wall. And I mean, this is a 6 foot tall masonry wall. And I did a little research for her, and they actually make little rollers that you can buy to put on the top of those walls. So as the coyote comes up, he hits a ball bearing floated bar that spins. So he can he can never get any check. I keep waiting to watch one try because it's going to be pretty funny.
Need a little game trail out there.
A little game camera.
Game camera, yeah.
And interestingly enough, those are called coyote rollers.
All right, good. So you've seen them used before.
Yes, and pretty effective tool and stuff, though. But, you know, if you do have small pets, we have to consider other predators where your animals still may be at risk if they're even in your backyard. There's certainly ways to keep coyotes out of your backyard, but a little harder to keep the flying predators out of your yard as well, like your hawks and owls this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. And I do want to get to those in particular, because a note of special interest to me is I noticed in y'all's early season closures, we now have like 22 closed areas for bald eagle nesting. And I want to get to that later, because I could remember just 10 or 15 years ago, there were like two places we would close, and now we've got 22. That's got to be good news for the bald eagles.
You bet.
But let's stick on the flying javelina and coyotes for now.
You'd think that the coyotes can fly the way they can get up over, you know, 6 to 8 foot fences and walls like that.
And are they generally, these urban coyotes, are they, generally when I see them, I very seldom see them in a group. It's a solitary dude out there looking around.
It just depends. A lot of times our urban coyotes are territorial, and depending on the circumstances, the food availability within their territory, they can have, you know, a small territory or a very large territory, but typically just depends on the time of year, whether you see solitary animals versus what people say that are packs, but they're family units. So it would be, you know, the dominant male and female, and then young of the year, as they're, you know, teaching them how to hunt and get and survive and showing them their territory. So depends on the time of year. You may see one coyote, two coyotes, and there could be up to 7 or 8 coyotes.
You get on the outskirts of town sometimes at night, it sounds like there's 1,000 around you.
Well, you do. And my mom, Baby Kay, lives on a golf course. And there are nights you can be sitting in her backyard and you think you're on Yellow Jacket Mesa up there, completely surrounded by families of coyotes. They're howling all the way around you. And this is a golf course that's right in the middle of town.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I mean, there's only really at this point one place where we're not, you know, getting any coyote calls, and that's like downtown Phoenix, you know, down, you know, around the baseball and basketball stadiums down in that country.
And when you get the call, what can a homeowner expect your response to be?
Well, a lot of what we do, and probably 95% of what we do, is provide education, information and education on how people can live with these animals. There's a whole gamut of things that people can do, things that cost a lot of money and things that don't require time and effort. That's like hiring a company to do trap and removal. Those type of companies are listed on our web pages. There's the modifying your fencing, the coyote rollers, there's decorative wrought iron, different things like that, you know, to keep coyotes out of your yard. But the stuff that's effective, just as effective, but very inexpensive, requires time and effort. And a lot of it comes down to what we do to provide food sources, attractants, if you will, for those animals or for those animals that these coyotes are looking for as a food source. So if we can remove the food sources, and then the other part of it is how we interact with them. As these animals are around people and they're not being chased off or threatened, they're learning from us every day. And if we're not a threat, then, you know, their normal daily situation is, you know, people are around and they're not afraid of us, and they're coming up, you know, within close proximity to people, and they're finding food, you know, so they're just going to keep capitalizing on those food resources closer and closer to people.
Well, the good thing about coyotes is they won't dig generally your yard up. They're surface shoppers, and they're looking for easy prey. They're looking for that poodle, that mini schnauzer, that rabbit, that cat, that chicken that may be in the yard. But the ones that I've seen cause a lot more damage, destroying irrigation systems, tearing up entire succulent gardens, destroying paver areas, are the javelinas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're very good diggers, and typically you see a lot of our javelina calls coincide when people are overseeding their lawn. So not only if they're using natural fertilizers with grubs and things like that, you know, in that substance, just the fact that your ground is soft and moist and easy to dig in. So we do see a lot of damage, you know, late, you know, September, early October, and then when they're overseeding for the summer lawns as well.
We're here with Darren Julian, urban wildlife specialist from Arizona Game and Fish. If you've got an urban wildlife encounter, story, or problem you'd like to share with us, give us a call at the toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348.